The web that has no weaver, understanding Chinese medicine, page 153. Heat or fire, ray or foe. The terms heat and fire can be used interchangeably, although heat usually connotes an external pernicious influence and fire an internal pernicious influence. Fire, however, is also a normal characteristic of the body. It is the body's yang aspect, as opposed to the yin, one of the two bodily principles that must be kept in balance. The fire that is the normal yang of the body should not be confused with fire pernicious influence. The difference is a matter of proportion or location in the human landscape. Heat or fire, because of its characteristic of being hot and active, is a yang phenomenon. Its signs within the body resemble its manifestation in nature. When heat pernicious influence is present, the whole body or portion of it feel hot or appear hot. The person affected by it dislikes heat and has a preference for cold. He or she will display such signs as high fever, a red face, red eyes, and dark, reddish urine. Heat can also collect in small areas of the body's surface, creating fire poison, which is what in the West would be called inflammation. Its symptoms are carbuncles, boils, reddish ulcers, or other skin lesions that are red, swollen, raised, and painful. Secretions and excretion related to heat or fire pernicious influence tend to be sticky and thick and to feel hot. Cough with thick yellow mucus or stools with mucus and blood accompanied by burning sensation in the anus. Heat or fire pernicious influences can also dry out bodily matter and deplete the fluids. Thus, a dry tongue, unusual thirst, dry stools, or scanty urination are other possible signs of the presence of this influence. Heat pernicious influence, being a yang phenomenon, induces movement, as does wind. Wind is more mobile, however, and its movement is trembling or spasmodic, sudden or abrupt. Heat, on the other hand, is said to induce reckless movement, especially of blood and heart spirit. In the blood, such movement often leads to hemorrhaging and red skin eruptions. In the heart spirit, reckless movement may be recognized by confused speech or delirium. For instance, in a patient with a high fever, external heat or fire disharmonies are marked by high fever, headache, or since heat rises, swollen and or sore throat, dry mouth, great thirst, desire for cold, occasional bloody sputum, skin eruptions, irritability, or delirium. There is usually a higher fever with heat than with cold and only slighter or no chills, more headaches, and fewer body aches. This is because heat tends to rise and it obstructs the meridians less than cold does. As with the other external pernicious influences, the onset of illness is usually sudden. Internal heat or fire develops from disharmonies of the yin and yang of the various organs and takes multiple forms. It will be discussed in Chapter 7. Clinical sketch. A patient suddenly gets a high fever and a severe sore throat. She has a red face, a dry, hacking cough, and no fear of cold. A Western physician takes a throat culture and discovers the presence of group A beta hemolytia, streptococcus. Antibiotic drugs are prescribed with good results. If the same patient had gone to a Chinese physician, he very likely would have diagnosed a heat pernicious influence. Herbs like coptis and scutellina, which disperse and cool fire, would have been prescribed. The results probably would have been adequate adequate though not as dependable as the antibiotic treatment. Modern research shows incidentally that both Coptis and Scutellaria inhibit the growth of Streptococcus bacteria. Acupuncture treatment, such as needling large intestine 4 to cool fire, would in this case have offered some symptomatic relief and heightened the body's resistance, but would have been less effective than herbs. Dryness and summer heat, Zhao and Xu. Dryness and summer heat are two distinct pernicious influences, but they are much less important than wind, cold, heat, and dampness. This is because they are less frequently used as a description of the inner environment, and other influences can represent them. In clinical practice, they are even more overlooked than they are in the traditional theory. Dryness pernicious influence is a Yang phenomenon. It's also closely related to heat. Dryness and heat are on a continuum, with the dry and emphasizing dehydration and the heat and emphasizing redness and hotness. Thus, dryness is accompanied by dry nostrils, lips and tongue, cracked skin, and dry stools. External dryness often interferes with the circulating and descending functions of the lungs, manifesting perhaps a dry cough with little phlegm, thirst, bleeding nose, or chest pain, as well as a sign of sudden fever, body aches, and other symptoms characteristic of the external pernicious influences. The common disharmonies that involve internal dryness will be discussed in Chapter 8. Summer heat is purely an external pernicious influence that always results from exposure to extreme heat. Its symptoms include sudden high fever and heavy sweating. Summer heat easily injures the qi, causing the exhaustion, and depletes the fluids. It often occurs together with dampness. The six pernicious influences, internal or external, can never be seen in isolation from the body. They can only be recognized by the signs and symptoms that accompany them. And those signs and symptoms are part of a human pattern that is greater than any one pernicious influence. The dampness or the wind cold that begins a disharmony is part of the disharmony itself, and the disharmony contributes to the condition of dampness or wind cold. The linear idea of cause and effect becomes a circle in Chinese medicine, because Chinese pattern thinking subsumes all the pieces into a more important whole. Dampness or wind cold or other climatic phenomena are final descriptions of human landscapes, metaphors that relate what's going on in the body to its complement in the universe. As causes, they are secondary to the overall pattern. In fact, in some cases, exposure to dampness may generate a cold condition, or exposure to cold may generate a wind heat condition. And if someone has been exposed to dampness but manifests a heat pattern, then heat is what counts. Treatment will be for heat, not for dampness. In biomedicine, it is often impossible to treat a condition without knowing the cause. In Chinese medicine, the treatment is always for the condition itself, regardless of the cause. That pernicious influence as a cause is unimportant. An individual may have tendencies toward a certain state. One person is usually cold or damp, while another is hot and dry. Each of these people will receive a pernicious influence in his or her own way, so that it will become part of that person's unique pattern. The pernicious influence does not have any characteristics that belongs to it alone and that are not defined by its manifestations in particular person. The pernicious influence can only influence. It cannot determine. And with all the elements that are considered in Chinese medicine. It is just one piece, and other signs to be woven into the pattern.